This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
You know what? I feel guilty every time that pops up now. I look at the other two that are sitting right there and going, hey, you know what? They got to have their names on there, too.
We got to have
a new one.
I cannot wait until we start doing those live Facebook broadcasts with the games, and we have Jono, Steve-O, our pictures up, and then guest. That's the best.
We're still just guests, Rich.
Yeah, I think these guests need to open a can now.
Hey, well, we got the band back together. I feel like the Blues Brothers here.
Yes, we do.
Rich just had two whole chickens and a loaf of lightly toasted white bread. Isn't that from Blues Brothers? What do you order?
On a mission from God.
Four orange fried bread. Chickens. And a Coke, and then what Elwood get? Dry white toast. That's Jake. That's Elwood.
Right.
It's the Blues Brothers.
We're back, brother.
Orange whip. No, you don't remember that one from Blues Brothers? That was John Candy line.
John Candy.
At the theater.
That was pretty good. And folks, we've got Steve-O, Rodney, and Rich, and Jono here, and welcome back to another great Cowboy show. And I really love what I'm seeing from you guys out there. You're subscribing, you're downloading, you're checking out our site. We had 37,000 people that clicked on to see the cowboy that Doc put up on our site. He put the Dallas Cowboy helmet up for 4th of July.
Yeah.
37,000 people took a little peek at that. And I think we had close to 400
shares and things like that. Yeah, it was awesome, man. It was a great looking
helmet. Doc.
When Doc put that up, I was like, boy, that looked nice, autographed in like a white paint
pen,
man.
Man. You're always thinking about yourself, aren't you?
Yeah.
What about that helmet I had? Now it disappeared.
Where is that?
It's gone.
Gone?
It's gone. It was in our studio, and now it's vanished.
I thought somebody threw it behind that chair and scratched it up, and you were all disgruntled about it.
Yeah, I was disgruntled.
Then what happened to it?
I don't know. And that's
you know what it
right.
is, Jono, is that here at Lineup Media Group, you've made several enemies. Because
that Zach guy again, huh? You're going to bring that Zach guy in?
Well, we could, but here's the deal.
He hasn't left his house since.
It's we're in the middle of America, so even though we're considered a cowboy nation everywhere. You know, you do a cowboy show,
right?
Okay,
and we got cowboy fans here,
right? No, absolutely. But you're a Cincinnati Reds fan.
What the hell does that have to do with
one of your other podcasts you do is the Fairmount Racetrack. So did you like give anybody a bad tip and? You know,
there's been some bad tips.
And then all of a sudden,
honest to God, there has. If I can win all eight races, well, why would I be doing this? I'd be over there with a checker pants on, with a cigar dangling out of my mouth, and
for the love of the game,
playing horses.
For the love of the game, hey,
that's fine. But then I would just watch my Cowboys play. I wouldn't see any of you guys.
And then let's get back to the real Jono. The thing that really probably has the rub here is the fact that you inherited a fantasy baseball team, and you're in first place beating everybody because you inherited the best team from the winner last year.
And you know what? I think you're out of line again.
I don't think I'm out of line.
I think you're out of line because if you check out my team, I've got five different players on my offense, and I got six different players on my pitching. So I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I like to introduce Rich. Rich,
is this the Cowboys podcast or what's going on here?
Babe, it's great to have you back.
Jono, as always, I love being here, seeing you guys. Wow, nothing's changed. I've been gone a couple months.
Right. Yeah, nothing's changed.
They still argue.
Bigger sausage fingers.
Look at, now, are those highlights and a tan that you're sporting? I know you got the Dallas Cowboy Harley Davidson out there.
That's a Cabo tan.
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboy Harley Davidson. Our listeners, viewers.
Yeah.
Both. Yeah, I just picked that up 2 weeks ago. It's a beaut. She is a beaut. I sold my Harley in 1998 to support a failing business.
Right.
And then every year I said I was going to get another one. Well, it was just meant to be. I drove by and there it is. Bah,
It hit
light
you.
Shined down.
It hit you.
And I drove it home, parked in the garage, and shut the garage door. My wife drives up, opens the garage door, and what the hell is that? I guess I probably should ask for permission, but it's always better to ask for forgiveness. I learned that from Steve-O, right?
Yeah, ask for forgiveness, not permission. So, who was the guy in Wild Hogs?
John Travolta.
No, and there's Tim Allen, the black guy. You're so dark, though, man. What have you been doing? Have you been riding the thing nonstop?
I've been getting my raise in. No, it's been I've been getting up early, actually running. And
Martin Lawrence. If Martin Lawrence had highlights.
Well, that's good to hear, I guess.
You're so dark. How did you get that dark?
What do you mean?
I'm sitting in the shadows.
Martin Lawrence is not that goddamn dark. I don't know why.
He's the same color as Rich right now.
It's the black shirt. I'm sitting in the shadows.
All right. Well, we're going to lose our black fans out there. What the hell?
Come on.
Come on.
What the hell is he talking
Little
about?
Levity to the show here.
No, I miss you guys. And you know, I was chiming in last week. I wasn't on the air, though, but Steve-O dropped the reference from Tombstone about just acquired a 20% share in the Orient. I'm a little disappointed in you two for not picking up on that.
Yeah. It's been a rough day.
John, of you of all people, that's a gambling reference.
Right.
I put the blame on the delivery. He didn't deliver it well.
He didn't. He does that a lot. We don't know when the hell the punchline's coming with him.
Oh, well. Yeah. Random thoughts by Steve-O.
Yeah.
Show, Jono. What do you got for us today?
I think something's bothered the hell out of me, and this is like me talking to Rodney, I think, last week on the show, and I said, Damian Wilson, I'm expecting so much from this guy. I love what I'm seeing last year. I think he's going to be a great linebacker for the Cowboys. I think, I was thinking maybe 60 to 70 takedowns. I liked him, and I don't know what's going to happen to him, but Damian Wilson arrested on felony charges. What do you have, like a rifle?
Two counts of assault with a deadly weapon. It's a serious charge. This isn't like...
You're in Texas, too. There's nothing... You can't get by anything in Texas.
It's not good. You know, and we'll see how it plays out, but if this goes to trial and... Those are the charges he has to face, and it's serious. You know, he's going to miss some time.
Well, it's not only that, but it's the whole contract stuff with the NFL and the behavior unbecoming of an NFL player, whatever they call it nowadays. The personal conduct thing is what really, and that's what the hammer Goodell's. I mean, he lives for it. Seems like.
I understand that. I understand that, though, guys. If you're carrying around a rifle, you're going to get busted. But we've got another instance, too. Let's keep going to what you guys want to talk about here because I want to jump in and reflect on something else,
too. It's unfortunate, though, because it does give Roger Goodell some free rein to really drop the hammer. You know, it takes it out of our hands or, you know, the team's hands, you know, to discipline the player. And I get why it is the way it is. Unfortunately, though, that's just the nature of it. And when you give Roger Goodell that kind of power, you don't know what he's going to end up doing. And, you know, the team's going to suffer.
My thing, Rich, I'll throw this your way now. We had that incident happen with Rice. Ray Rice. The running back.
Ray Rice.
Was it Ray Rice?
Yeah.
Ray Lewis. That's what I was thinking.
Well, yeah, Ray Lewis had the shooting after
right,
Super
right.
Bowl in
no,
Atlanta.
But I'm talking about Rice there. And, you know, there was nothing charged to him, was there? I mean, I don't know if he got charged or not.
I don't remember if there was
And then charging, they find this tape.
They got the video, yeah.
They got the video.
It's kind of hard to argue with the video.
No, I get that. I get that totally, 100% with you. But I'm just saying, that kind of reflects on everything that's happening now. If a guy's found not guilty, they don't care. They don't care. They're covering their ass by saying, you know what, you're still going to get some time. You're still going to serve 3-4 games. And that's what's happening right now with Zeke. We're looking at a guy that's – everything's dropped, but now they're saying that Goodell is saying, you know what, we're still going to give you four games to cover our ass.
And this stems from something prior to him being in the NFL, right?
Was it?
Yes. He was at Ohio State, wasn't it?
This most recent incident?
No, which one are you talking about?
I'm not sure which one you're. We're talking about Ray Rice. Just
yeah, no. Ray Rice was brought in by Zeke. That's what
I got you.
Yeah, this is like Monty Python.
Oh my gosh, who's on first?
I think what John was trying to say is the NFL has its own set of rules. So regardless what the justice system, the legal system has to say about it, the NFL, Roger Goodell, they're his own judge, jury, and executioner. So we'll let that go through the circuit, and whatever happens there, whether guilty or not guilty, now you're going to a secondary trial with the NFL, and Roger Goodell is going to drop the hammer in any way he chooses.
But I was found not guilty.
Yeah, but he's going to protect the shield.
The shield.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what they talk about with Goodell. My point on, and I think this is what you're stemming to, is the Ray Rice alleged charge from his Ohio State days, right?
And it went back to backfire him, the NFL, because they said, well, you know what, if the law says it, if nothing happened, we're gonna abide by that. And then all of a sudden, the video comes out. People say that he had the video. He could have checked the video out before that. But point is, if he's found not guilty and there's a tape like this, it puts him in the front office in jeopardy. But what about the innocent people? What about the running backs out there or whatever that a girl falsely accuses this guy of doing anything. Now what? Roger Goodell suspends this guy for four?
That's the problem with the system, and you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You take the Ray Rice incident, let's say that there's no video that ever shows up, no charges are ever filed, but the incident still happened, right? But he's not punished in any way, okay? Or then you take whatever case you want. Either way, the public is going to – there's going to be an outcry on either way. Either you're not tough enough because on domestic violence, or you're too soft, over here, or, he wasn't charged with a crime. Why is he being punished? He was never charged with anything. He was never, sentenced to any kind of term. So why is he losing games? Either way, the public is going to say that's not right.
Well,
that's the problem with the system. It's you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, no matter what.
Adrian Peterson, I mean, think about that. I mean, there's another incident. You know? I mean, and then there's incidents everywhere. But I think, if I'm correct, Jono, what you're talking about is almost like two justice systems.
Right.
The legal system that we all abide by, and then the Goodell system.
The
Roger system.
Right, exactly. If something happens, to Rodney at his work or me at my work, if I got a DUI, I would have to answer to the judicial system, and it would be over with. In here, if you get a DUI with the NFL, you answer to the judicial system, and then you answer to the NFL system
as well.
Obviously there's an issue there. Back to Damian Wilson, though, and it ties into the accusations and what's going on. These guys sometimes are targeted, okay, for either, somebody wanting to prove their mettle out there and, oh, man, is that an NFL guy? Yeah, whatever. And then, and I'm not saying that they're all innocent of doing stuff, but it's hard to just turn around and walk away, okay? It is. And
I don't care.
I don't care who you are. I don't care what the situation is. At some point, you're a person, okay? Yep. And I don't care if it's a woman that's beating the shit out of you, hitting you, and you're trying to get away, or if it's this guy's giving you a bunch of lip in the drive-through line at In-N-Out Burger, whatever it might be. These guys get in situations that, because they are who they are, it might be an easy payday,
And, Steve, I think the thing that you alluded to there, the human aspect. They're human beings. We're all human beings. But yet we put them on a higher pedestal because they're professional athletes. They're in the limelight and they're getting paid, all this money to play a sport. But unfortunately, with all that money comes the extra responsibility. But with that being said, it's not, and I hate to say it's not fair. I hate that it's not fair crap. But the truth be told, exactly what you're saying is it can be an easy payday for people, so they're going to take their pop shots at them. Just like, and the thing that drives me the nuttiest, especially being, a martial artist, if somebody comes up and attacks me and I defend myself, well, suddenly it's all my fault, right? Same thing with a police officer defending himself, something NFL player. Look at the movie The Program. I think that summed it up really well when that quarterback got suspended because somebody threw a punch at him in a bar.
And he reacted.
Yeah. Well, the same thing in the NFL there. These people go out there. There's trolls on social media. Well, there's trolls in real life, too, that go out to harass these people.
Yeah.
And if they're guilty, if they've sexually assaulted a woman or doing something they shouldn't do, lock their ass up. No doubt about it. However, these people come at them and say, oh, he should know better. He's a professional athlete. How do you know? Right. How do you know? You've not been put in their situation.
Not
you don't
only
know
that, Rich,
been.
But you get a guy who's, you know, he goes out there in public, right? And the only way for him to stay out of, you know, and he wants to live a regular life.
He's a human being.
He's a human. And he goes out to whatever nightclub. Now he has to invite an entourage of people to keep him safe.
Yep.
And then we wonder why these guys are broke when their career's over with.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, and I get it. I'm taking the 5th percentile out there, you know, the one-offs. We're not taking the majority of them. But at the end of the day, society's just screwed up. I mean, there's 100%. some jackwagon people out there.
Easy payday, just like you said there. And I lost my train of thought there. But, yeah, they're human freaking beings.
Right.
They want to go out and they want to just be themselves. Now, some are going out and they're, I mean, you know, thugs are thugs. It is what it is. Some are that way. But others just want to go out and have a good time and enjoy life. But if they don't have their entourage, then they're going to be attacked and people think it's an easy payday.
Right. And you know what? You look at the situation here with Joe Mixon. You guys know who this player is? Played
From Oklahoma.
And he slapped a woman in a
McDonald's or something like that.
Something like a fast food. And the woman, I would say, probably was a younger teenager kid, too. Now, how does the NFL, how does he get looked at by Goodell if something comes up like a year later, if there's a civil suit? Now, everything's been done. Everything's said and done on this case. But now if something pops up like that, now you're going to have Goodell jump in and say, you know what, I'm going to fine you. I'm not fine you, but I'm going to suspend you. I don't think it's fair. These guys have served their time, or they went in front of the justice, and the justice said, this is what you get or this is what you don't get. I don't know how Goodell just pops up and says, now you're getting 4 games. Now, God forbid anything Zeke did. I look at it through the law. If the law says that he was okay and he's not guilty, who am I to say you did do it and you didn't belong there? And to defense of you guys,
it's almost like,
I mean, where the hell can I go?
Goodell's saying he doesn't care if you did it. You damaged the reputation of the Shield. It doesn't matter guilt, innocence in the league.
So what do you want me to do, Goodell? Should I just stay home?
Here's what you do. I'm going to give you 4 games because it's going to make me look good. You're going to appeal it because you don't believe in that, and we're going to settle on 2.
Yep.
Unless you're Tom Brady, then we're going to spend $1 trillion
God bless him.
Attorney's fees.
God bless him.
Well, you have to understand that a lot of the new policies that Goodell has stems from that Ray Rice situation. We've already talked about why that was a difficult one, because his wife was not going to press charges. It was trying to be more or less covered up, but then this video surfaced. So what do you do? What's the percentage of NFL female viewers in this country? It's pretty big.
It's growing, too, thanks to Colleen Case.
So he has to take a tough stand.
Shout out.
You know, again, it's that damned if you do, damned if you don't. Either way, it was kind of a lose-lose. He was going to lose some of the faith of the players, probably in the players' union, but at the same time, if he didn't do something, the women are going
to
be like,
no, that's not right. That's not right, and I don't think all women would jump to that woman's aid if she's lying. I think women are human beings too, to where they can see right from wrong. And a woman's just not going to say execute the guy for no reason because there's been an accusation thrown at this person. I think women are sharp enough to understand that, hey, she was out to get money or whatever. Now that may not be the case either. But I'm saying, if the devil's advocate, if the guy is innocent, why should he go to the firing squad or get hung?
I don't disagree with you. It's just that, you know, it's not a perfect. It's never going to be a perfect system. There's no way to make it.
But do you think the female world would automatically jump to that girl's aid and not even care about
for the women who have gone through domestic violence in their lifetime? Yeah, probably so.
Of course, but I'm talking about in general. Every female out there, are they all of a sudden going to side with? Well, let's look at Hillary Clinton. She ran for president. She didn't get all the women's vote and all that. I mean, there's women think, hey, logically, let's think this out. I mean, it's not all about, hey, just because you're a woman, we're going to hang the guy. So,
Well, I mean, I'll refrain from opinions on stuff because I've already alienated one race from our listenership, according to Jono here. And I
got to monitor everything he says.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to alienate the women following us either, so I'll just shut up and sit over here like a good lad.
Sit there.
But though, so the NFL, for listeners out there, just like any professional sport franchise.
But what about this Joe Mixon?
Hold on. They send the players through, especially the young rookies, through this, I don't know.
Rookie symposium.
Yeah, is that what it's called? I was trying to find the exact word for it. Well, if that's not the word, that's exactly what it means.
That's what it is.
And they pretty much, they tell them, look, you're going to be in the limelight now. Some of you have never had anything. But now you're going to have this. You're going to have money. You're going to have friends. You're going to have girls. You're going to have all the stuff you've never had before. So with that comes a responsibility. And to steal the little thing from Spider-Man, with ultimate power comes ultimate responsibility. It's a tough thing for them to go through. It truly is. I mean, if you grew up dirt poor and struggled with everything, and now suddenly you've got everything at your fingertips, and that's not condoning misbehavior. I'm just saying it's tough.
Oh, sure.
And
and that's right up your alley, Rich, for what you talk about and preach about and teach over at the dojo.
Yeah.
It is that part of the life, you know, that even though your age is X, Y, or Z, or even though you've been here from this socioeconomic part of the country or whatever it might be.
Town,
that you talk a lot about, hey, you're in a situation that you need to use your head and you need to mature pretty quickly. And you're talking about these kids are 21.
And Steve, 20
years old, and they now got millions.
If we reflect back when we were in our 20s and we were handed the gold key, I mean, it would be tough.
Sure.
And, and Jim Rome, I'm with motivational speakers and inspirational guys talking about success. He always talks about it. You have to become the person in order to become successful. Well, with football or any other sport, especially I think football and basketball, these young kids are thrown into it, boom, instantly. And what he talks about is you grow into success so you know how to handle success, and that's how you achieve lifelong success. Sort of like the analogy, most lottery winners, 85, 90% of people that win the lottery, within 5 years are back to where they started from.
Give me the chance. Give me the chance.
How many jackpots have you won gambling?
I'm saying, though, you mentioned that. Right.
I'm saying is if you don't grow into that, you don't know how to handle it. Well, the same thing. These kids, and the NFL does a good job with it, but maybe they should take it a step further and say, look, even though you've been in the league a year, now Zeke had a career year last year. I mean, think about it. In his first rookie season. How can that not go to your head? I'm not condoning what he did or did not do. I'm just saying, you know what? They may need to step in and say, look, this kid, he's living way beyond where his maturity is. Let's help him out.
Right. And
kind of a preemptive strike.
Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, I see it as the NFL just trying to get tough again and show, hey, you know what? If we let this guy go, then we're going to let this guy go, and we can't have that, and we have to – we have to rule the same, and that's what I'm seeing. It's a shame that they're playing the numbers and not the individual itself. Speaking of what's in the news now as well, we got Dak Prescott, and you know what? I have a jersey now that's been signed by Dak, and I'm looking at that damn thing, maybe. Thinking, did he sign it or did he not sign it? And this. It's out in the news right now. If you guys didn't check it out, it's Dak Prescott accused of using machine to sign in autographs. So what do you guys think about this?
I had never heard of this before, but I can't imagine this is the first time.
So they used to have a thing. So they used to have a thing called RoboPen. So I'd collect a lot of autographs, and that was one of the deals back in the day that people were always scared about. Was it's not his signature. I mean, it looks identical to it, but it was signed by a machine, RoboPen. Back in the day, you heard stories of Babe Ruth or Lou Gehrig, the clubhouse boys would sign fan mail or whatever, baseballs, and, Mickey Mantle, all these guys, a lot of them had other people that would sign for them. I mean, you see it on Pawn Stars today. Somebody brings it in, and a guy comes from down the street, and he goes, hey, yeah, this is a president, but the secretary signed a lot of the president's letters. Right. So it's not – that's really not George Jefferson's signature.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I mixed two of them in there too for you. You got that?
It's Wheezy's.
Yeah, it's Wheezy's. I'm on a roll today, John. I'm on a roll. But, yeah. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
No.
Let him go.
He's on a roll.
He's on a roll.
So, yeah, it's one of those things where it's crazy. You never know what's real. Eli Manning just went through something very similar. He had a contract with Steiner where he had to provide a certain number of game jerseys or helmets or whatever it is, and he went to the equipment manager and said, hey, I need a helmet made up with a little bit of wear on it. Make it look just like mine. And he might have kept it. It might have been from whatever touchdown or this big game, or he traded it to somebody else, and all of a sudden a jersey shows up out there from Steiner for like $5,000, and people are buying them. You know, I mean, you're talking big dollars for these things, and they're not real. Now, in the collecting business, I got a saying with a buddy of mine that I said, well, if a tree falls in a forest and no one's there to hear it make a sound, does it make a sound?
And that's what I want to ask you, since you aren't in that. How is something like that authenticated?
Well,
is there a true way to actually authenticate?
Well, the only way to really authenticate something 100%.
Watch him sign it.
Be there for it.
Take a picture, get it notarized.
Well, even that, the only person that would know it is you. Right. Okay? If you take a picture of him signing something, you can always, another term that we use in the collecting business is Frankenstein something up. Okay? Oh, yeah, that, you know, you have two jerseys that look the same. He signed one, somebody else signed another that looks just like it. And you're, oh, yeah, here's the signature. So unless you're there, if it's a game-used piece of memorabilia and you saw him use it and hand it to you, and it's in your possession, now you know. Yeah. If you're there, but if you're going to sell it off,
that's what I mean. Any stuff that you've bought from another party, I mean, you know what I mean? Or you have to go on.
There's some reputable,
some credible sources, right?
Real credible. And I used to do some authenticating for a company called TriStar. So we would sit there. I've spent hours with Bo Jackson, Stan Musial, Bart Starr, Tony Dorsett, Terry Bradshaw. I mean, hours with these guys, watching them sign stuff and then hologramming it. But at the end of the day, that's a reputable company. So was Steiner. The problem is that Steiner was getting the stuff that the athlete was crooked. I've been in a room with Kurt Warner and watched him sign 300 helmets. And you would look down, and if anybody's ever signed multiple things in a row, bank checks, they're all different.
Yep.
Kurt Warner's looked identical, every one of them. It was unbelievable.
So that actually brings up a great question. And I don't know. I guess I sign a few autographs, but nothing in the terms of that. And every single time I sign, like you said, even signing checks, it's slightly different.
Yes.
Even though I practiced it who knows how many times. So these athletes, you've sat with the Bo Jacksons, Kurt Warners, Tony Dorsetts, and they're signing, what do you think, 1,000 autographs at times, possibly?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, my gosh, you know, I sign 15 checks, my wrist is already sore. But every signature is different. So what is their kind of secret to that, or what have they said? Are they just getting autograph mode and just go to town? Or
they go to town, and that's why a lot of the signatures nowadays are just scribble. Well, it's hard to find a current athlete with a great signature.
I got a problem with all this, and I don't have it with the athlete that does this. I have a problem with the COA, the certificate people, the TriStar people. If anything like this is slipping from their eye and they're giving the certificate to you that we've seen this, I don't blame the player as much as I do the company that's selling this under their name, and we're trusting. Because there's so many signatures on helmets and shirts and all that you go, does it have a certification behind it? If it doesn't, I just go past it. I don't trust everything.
Right.
So now if that certification is part of this Dak Prescott thing to where, you know what, these athletes are doing this, I'm blaming them too, and I'm suing them for allowing this to happen.
Yeah, and I didn't I picked up a little bit of the ticker going across on something like that. I hadn't read the full story yet, just with things going on. But you're right, John. If they're selling it as a real autograph and it's been robo-pinned, somebody's going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
That's just a terrible thing to do, because you're talking about they're not asking for $5 for these things.
No.
I mean, you're talking hundreds of dollars. And you'll notice the price. If you get on eBay and you go look at a Tim Tebow helmet or a Tim Tebow helmet that's been certified authentic because they've watched it from like a Steiner. I mean, there's a difference of a couple hundred bucks.
Sure. I mean, here's a Tom Brady TriStar hologram. He wrote down 5-time Super Bowl champs with his signature on it. It's going for $800.
Right. But TriStar, Steiner, where there's a Gary Takahashi or something like that, GTSM. I mean, there's a lot of great companies out there that do, and I've been involved with them, and I've sat with them. I would have 100% confidence in anything you bought from a TriStar or, like I said, a Steiner. The Steiner thing, what they got in trouble with Eli, and they're the one that blew the whistle, was Eli was giving them bad equipment, and there's no way for them to get the real equipment. Because he's going in a locker room and changing and coming out with a jersey, you know, and saying, yeah, here's my gamer.
Yeah, well, it's not like he's going to, no, I put this jersey here, this, and he's got more important things to focus
it's
on.
It's a typical
like the
New York Giant, though.
Well, that's a good point, too. Well, you know, and Steve, that brings up another good point. It just kind of jogged my memory here. I got an autograph from Pierre Turgeon. It's one of the only, I'm not much of an autograph guy. I know you are. That's great. I just never got into it there. But it was after a game. Now, he had a broken index finger on his right hand. So he scribbled on it. We saw him in the parking lot, and he just was traded to the Blues. I had a jersey, and I went up, and, hey, how you doing? He signed the back of the jersey. Another guy I knew got an autograph from Turgeon. Oh, he says he did. I wasn't there. But it looks nothing like the one I got. And, of course, that's not Turgeon's real autograph. I'm like, look, man, I was there. That happened, like you said.
Right.
So whether he bought it or he got it or whatever the case may be, they were two totally different autographs. But Turgeon had a broken index finger. So, obviously, he's going to write.
Right.
He's going to write differently.
I've seen Brett Hull sign both right-handed and left-handed.
I've heard that.
And sign them, and they look identical. And then I've watched a guy in a parking lot waiting for the Blues signatures writing Grant Fuhr's signature on mini helmets that were they were better than Grant Fuhr signature. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Well. It kind of got off on a different thing there, but I see what you're saying, John. The normal person jumps on eBay. What the heck do they look for? How do they know what they're getting is authentic?
Right.
And how do they know? It came with a certificate. So,
because if you're taking that away, that throws a whole different ball game into it. Like the firing squad, everyone but one guy gets
a bullet.
Right.
And now I'm looking at my signature. That I thought predominantly, hey, this is Dak Prescott jersey signed, and now I'm saying
the element
is this that damn thing that Steve-O just brought up.
What's it called? The magic? What is it called?
RoboPen. I don't know what he used or what they're accusing him of. That's what if we're looking for a sponsor. Hey, if you're out there listening, you run a Dallas Cowboy autograph exclusive with some of these guys. Hey, well. Come on board. We'll let you sponsor the show. We'll give you some plugs.
Yeah,
because if you're
absolutely.
Wanting real, authentic Cowboy signature stuff, there's got to be a company out there that has a lot of those guys under contract, right?
Yeah, and there's companies out there, too, that Cowboy stuff just goes so fast anyway.
Yeah.
Anything happening right now in the summer football?
Well,
here,
we're not too far away. We're starting to get into the middle
it's
of July,
July baby. Yep.
And all of a sudden we got a Hall of Fame game coming up. Don't we have the Rams in the Hall of Fame game? Is that what we got?
Why do you plug them so much?
I don't.
Bring up goddamn Rams?
It's the first game of the season. I think it's against the Rams. Am I right? Like the 6th of August?
Are we playing the Rams for the Hall of Fame?
Well, come on.
I thought we were playing the Steelers.
Get that little computer box out right in front of your sausage fingers and let's type away, son.
All right, let's do that.
Efforting.
Dun, dun.
Yeah, no kidding. Do. Hey, we're going to have to take Jeopardy. This out of the Dallas Cowboys and Arizona Cardinals?
Arizona, we're close.
Yeah. Hey, they used to be St. Louis team.
Boom. There you go. You pack the bus and you're leaving. Now you're Arizona.
So, hey, speaking of which, yesterday on the NFL Network was showing greatest games or whatever. I watched the NFC Championship game of 49ers and Cowboys in 93, right? No, 93. 93, the year we won.
That was
January
of 93. Baby.
And
Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, Emmitt went off. But the funny thing is it's Pat Summerall and it's John Madden doing the play-by-play and the color. And, I mean, if you grew up in our era, those sounds of those two guys just don't resonate with football and hit home, almost brings a tear to my eyes.
I don't see anyone out there besides Collinsworth that I like. Right now, right this minute. Now,
Collinsworth's
on the fence
for me. I
can't stand Phil Sims. I want to put my head right
Well, it's because he's a freaking giant.
Well, not only that, but just the stuff he says.
I know.
Just the stuff he says just throws me off.
I'm hoping he's got brain damage because, seriously, yeah.
Well, we don't hope he has brain damage.
No, I didn't mean that. I'm hoping some ailment. I'm hoping that he has brain damage. That's why he says the stuff he says.
The bottom line is there's nothing better than listening to,
Summerall
and Madden do a game because it brings back memories of just
sitting there watching. I had Howard Cosell.
Yeah.
That was Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
That really was. Steve-O, it was just kind of a
feature
fluke.
Games.
Austin got a whim yesterday. Let's go to Buffalo Wild Wings for lunch, and we went there, and the catch game was on. And just watching those plays, and there were several plays in that game that just, you know, slipped my mind. Obviously, everybody focuses on the catch, but there was an opportunity for the Cowboys moving down the field
to score.
And they didn't. Now, at the end of the game, they threw a pass, like a 45-yard pass to Drew Pearson, and then Danny White fumbled the next snap. All we had to do was get in range. But it was all the old guys, like Rafael Septien. Remember that? And, of course, Tony Dorsett.
I think he's in jail. Raphael, yeah, there's a story behind that. I'm not sure, though.
Laces out, Dan? Was that something like that? No.
Come on.
But yeah, and the next game right after that was Throwback Thursday, was the 93 game. And I wanted to hang around, but we had to get to the academy and do some other stuff. But yeah, that was redemption that year. I mean, we all waited. And
Cowboys tight ends, Jay Novacek.
My favorite player as a kid.
Really?
Absolutely.
Did we not ask you that?
I played tight end. No, you never did ask
We didn't ask you going back when you were the original fan of the week when we brought you in, who your all-time favorite was.
You glossed right over that.
Okay, well, we'll bring you in right now, Rodney Essen Price. How are you? Fan of the week here for the Cowboys.
Happy to be here.
Well, nice. Who's your favorite player all time?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
It was Jay Novacek. And why? I don't know why I just gravitated towards him, but as a kid, I was always bigger. So I wasn't super fast, but I was pretty athletic, had good hands. So what better position to play than tight end? I can block a little bit. I can catch the ball. I can do a little bit of both. And that's why I gravitated towards him. And he was my all-time favorite player.
Okay, current favorite player.
Probably going to have to go tight end. I'm a tight end at heart. I'm going to Jason Witten.
Awesome, too.
And we've talked about this on earlier shows about the Cowboys have dominated with tight ends. Doug Cosby, remember him?
I must be too young for Doug Cosby.
No, I remember Cosby, absolutely.
Cosby, and then Novacek came along.
See, Novacek was kind of like right when I was.
And then now Jason Witten. I mean, they just have always had a solid tight end.
Yeah.
And it's been a focal point of who they are. So, wow. Yeah,
I had his number growing up. I mean, he was my guy.
He was a Cowboy, too.
Yeah, through and through.
Through and through.
Yep.
So Jono he's bringing up the Rafael Septien. He just gave me an article from 1987. And he goes, look what just happened to him.
I didn't say look what just happened. You're such
look, this just happened yesterday.
I can't believe you just said that.
I told you there was a story.
I just found the article.
It.
That's all. It said
1987.
I pointed at the date, and it looked like a pencil pointing at it.
What the hell points at it,
I thought it was a solar eclipse happening.
Oh,
the big sausage fingers coming across his computer screen.
87.
Yeah.
Wow. It's still out there, though. I mean, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. He had something running with the law, and I don't want to get into it.
Roger Goodell's going to
Goodell's
going to
suspend him.
Yeah, he Septien, you're suspended.
So back to August 3rd. I mean, we're, 3 weeks away from a game? So we're getting close.
Well, I tell you what, I'm pumped up. I cannot wait for the Giants, the G-men, all the crap they're talking at this NFC site that I go to. Holy cow. And the Eagle fans, just the same.
Let me jump in with the Eagle fans. Somebody posted something on the Cowboys page today. It said, a baby elephant when it's born is 350 pounds, which is the biggest baby born next to Eagles fans.
I like that one.
That's the good one.
So, Jono, since we're pissing off all of our listeners, we no longer have anybody from the NFC. We no longer have women. I'm going to go ahead and get rid of all the either Republicans or Democrats, because the article out here says Donald Trump in 1984 had a chance to buy the the Cowboys, and he didn't.
I'm glad he didn't. It probably goes south anyway. I mean, he tried that with the XFL or
no, USFL.
That didn't go too well.
And if you watch that 30 for 30, a lot of people blame it on him.
Well, okay.
That he wanted to go toe to toe with the NFL instead of being off season.
Yep.
And that is what they talk about was the downfall of the USFL. Because if you remember, they were getting all the top talent coming out. You know,
it was Jim Kelly's, they had
Warren Moon's, they had Herschel Walker's. Yeah. I mean, they had all these.
Oh, they sure did.
Doug Flutie's. I mean, they were getting a lot of the big name guys. Reggie White started there.
Really?
Yeah. So if you think about it, Steve Young. All these Hall of Famers. We're starting off in the USFL,
shaking the rust off
I believe they pinpoint, hey, if the Donald hadn't been so arrogant and said we want to compete early on, had they let it resonate for a couple years and build the brand, they think that they could have taken down the NFL.
Well, not take it down. They have two divisions, and then the Super Bowl would be the winner of that takes on the winner of that. That would be ideal.
Yeah. Well, and Donald should have learned his lesson from. Oh, shoot, slip my mind now. The Raiders owner for the longest time, Al Davis, with the AFL.
Yeah.
You know
what, though? I've seen a 30-30 on Al Davis, too. God bless the guy.
Hey, that guy resonated cool.
Yeah, he was.
Let me tell you what. I passed him up. The Raiders came into town. I was in the tunnel down there putting away equipment or whatever, and he came with his entourage. And, I mean, he's in his terry cloth jumpsuit. Gold bling all over the place, and he resonated cool
and did not give a woot.
No,
like he was, you know, like it was, you know, I got a vision and I'm going to follow through with it, and the rest of you be damned.
And I think that's our owner right now, Jerry Jones. He doesn't care. Him and his family run it, and they run it well, and he's made the Cowboy fans very happy because we kind of have an owner out there that doesn't care about money as much as his team. His team is priority, then comes his companies and all that.
It's easy to say when you got the richest franchise, most valuable franchise in all sports.
Yeah, but, dude.
You know, it's like saying, yeah, this guy's awfully nice guy.
When he jumped on board, it wasn't this.
No, he built it. He built it up. I mean, the Cowboys were at a lull there, and as much as I hated to see Tom Landry go.
Exactly. How much crap did he take on that,
Rich? And I gave him just as much. I'm like, what the heck? I mean, come on. He's a legend. He's this. He's that. But the franchise was dying, you know, and if you look back, even in the Danny White era, the Cowboys fans and the announcers would bring it up. They just sat on their hands. They didn't cheer. They didn't applaud because Cowboys were supposed to win. So it was nothing to get excited about.
Right.
And then it went the opposite direction where they had a couple 4-12 seasons and it kept
1-15.
Well, that was with Troy Aikman the first year.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But they kept plummeting. And then, of course, not only Tom Landry goes, they get rid of Herschel Walker, and I'm thinking, what in the heck is this guy freaking doing?
Right.
Well, he knew exactly what he's doing. You know, he brought Jimmy Johnson in, and of course, Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith the next year, Michael Irvin the next year, and he just kept rolling with the punches there. And think about if him and Jimmy could have got along a little bit better, how many world championships would we have?
Let me throw this at Steve-O. If Jimmy Johnson came back to Jerry right now and goes, you know what, I'm tired of doing the CBS Sports football or Fox. Hey,
the extends commercials.
I like to become the coach again.
If this was, let's go back 20 years. If he was 20 years younger, or he's not doing it now.
He's not doing it now.
I mean, it's. He's fishing.
You think it's too old now?
It's passed him by.
I mean, he's living. I mean, he works one day a
week.
But
here's what I'm saying. And I know that Jerry's come out and publicly said that is his biggest regret is not being able to have that relationship or having something come in between that relationship that caused the whole, you know, franchise
Jerry
to be in disarray. But I would think that, you know, had it been 10 years ago, I think he brings him back. I think they Blues Brother it and Elwood's sitting there at the doorway waiting for Jake to come out of jail and let's go put the band back together.
Yeah. They kind of look like that.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Well, I think what happened there, they got to where they are by being who they were, And that's just who they were. Their personalities were just domineering. This is, I'm doing it my way. I'm doing it my way. And Jerry Jones had success his whole life by doing it his way.
Right.
Jimmy Johnson had success doing it his way. And sooner or later, the two personalities are going to clash.
And that was the rub.
Exactly,
that was the rub. And it's been the rub. And that's the one knock that everybody in Cowboy Nation has had on our owner, is the fact that he is a brilliant businessman. And then he tried to get into football operations.
Yeah. Yep. That's been my biggest complaint.
Okay, and I think that everybody will agree on that part, that he has not really been as successful.
Well, to his defense, he'd say, I got three rings to prove you wrong.
Well, yeah.
If you tell me Jimmy did that, I sat with Jimmy, and we both did that.
No, absolutely. But
okay, then
it's
how,
like,
are you going to rip on me?
I'm just saying that once he wanted to prove to the world that it was...
I'm a football man.
That Jerry Jones is a football mind, and he is to a certain degree, but not to the Jimmy Johnson level, and he'll admit that he was the man behind that, and that's where the egos got into it. Jimmy didn't want to say, hey, your company, your team is worth $4 billion because I've done all these deals with Pepsi. All Jimmy would say is, your team's worth $4 billion because I'm putting a winning product out
the
in the field every game. I'm not signing contracts. I'm not building buildings, building practice facilities. But it was Jerry that wanted to get the glory for
just a little bit more.
A little bit more.
Exactly. Well, and as opposed to them, and that's where they crossed over into that players, into the football world, and they couldn't coexist.
And I think that's why they've struggled to some extent finding top quality coaches at times. I think there was a fear there.
Well, it's still today they say Jason Garrett's a yes man.
Exactly. Well, who wasn't a yes man was Bill Parcells. And he's the one that really got the ship turned around, but eventually he even had to go. But then, but it was his
team
that
became
successful.
Did he go?
He did. And who knows the full backstory and everything. But, however, that Bill Parcells was like, he came in and said, I'm in charge for football.
I think Jerry played that cool.
He gave him the rein
on that and said,
GM. Yeah, he said, you do it, and it didn't happen as quickly as we'd like. I think the reason Garrett is a yes man, because of all the years he's been around, Jerry Jones. And think about it, all the way through the era of Jimmy Johnson, all the way through backing up Troy Aikman. So he's been with the organization all these years, so he knows what he needs to say. And I think that's why it's a good fit, and I think that's why we're going to get our first Super Bowl championship in a long time.
Yeah.
Just have the pieces
in
place.
I get nervous when it is a yes man sometimes.
Oh yeah.
But I feel like since Jason Garrett he's been a Cowboy for so long, it's a different dynamic.
100%.
It's not as if he's just an outside guy that came in.
A Chan Gailey that came in, and did he last the whole season?
I think he's your type of guy, though. He's all about motivation. As for the calls, he's making the call. You're just standing there throwing the red flag if they tell you to throw the red flag. I mean, honest to God, it's reversed totally to where the offensive coordinator's calling everything, the defensive coordinator's calling everything. You're just seeing Garrett be the guy out there.
Well, Jono, that's what a true leader should be. Now, I say that because I haven't always been that way.
I go with that.
A leader's got to make sure all the cogs are in place and turning in unison, or there's a problem. When Garrett was trying to call the offense and trying to be a head coach and trying to do this and trying to do that, I relate that to business. When I was a one-man band, every time I turned around, I was putting out a fire. But now that I've got, 8-9 employees, now I try and manage them. This guy's in charge of this over here and here. So it's all about you do you up here. And it's the old thing, if you're working in the business is never going to grow. It's going to shrink. If you're working on it, you can see how to expand
it. Totally agree. I'm not taking a knock on him on that. I'm just saying that his role has been a little bit more off the table for him, to where he could focus in on just seeing what's going out there and being that type
and evaluating
of
how to make things better. I'm
and
with
that's
you.
All fine and dandy when you're 13-3 and 12-4, but when you go 2-10, guess who's not calling the plays in offensively or defensively? Because if I'm getting fired, I'm getting fired because I deserve to get fired. I'm not getting fired because some jack wagon's playing hee-haw with the screw-off gang. All right?
Yeah.
That's when the ship starts sinking. That's when you start, you know what, I'm taking over this.
Right. Because because Jason's not the owner.
Right.
Okay? So Jerry can put people in charge, and, you know, if things aren't going well, we'll just get rid of them.
Every time, though, that you see a crappy season by the Cowboys, everyone suddenly looks at New Orleans at Sean Payton. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but when you get the Cowboys looking at Sean Payton, we're having a crappy year.
Sean
we can have Payton. I'm telling you, I think we've made that guy so much money on the contracts when we've said we want him. Next thing you know, New Orleans sold half the entertainment block just to give to him.
Well, his dad and Jerry Jones are best friends. I don't know if you knew that.
Really? Well, there you go.
I'm just making it up. I don't know.
Can't make up anything here. I believe.
Come on, this is not fake news around here, Rich. We're giving real stuff. Rafael Septien
recently committed a crime.
I never said recently. I swear to God, I never said that.
Can
I
you
said
at least
that.
Reveal the crime?
No, I don't want to because if it's. I mean, this is from 1987.
So fresh as today's
So
headlines.
If it wasn't true or whatever, I'm not going to hang the guy. I'm not Roger Goodell. I don't do that.
That a baby. There we go.
Double jeopardy with Roger Goodell. That's totally ethics here, folks. I think Goodell can't do stuff like that. I think in this situation with our linebacker, yeah. Make it known that we're not going to tolerate this. And as a Cowboy, too, I couldn't tolerate this. So, you know, let's work hand in hand.
Well,
but if you're going to just hang someone like Zeke when he's found not guilty, I have a little problem with that.
I get that. Well, can I just ask you, Jono, then let's say Damien goes to trial and he's found not guilty on a technicality, police screw up something, who knows, whatever it is. So then should he not be punished there? You know what I mean? That's why and I'm not trying to pin you down and say you got to get but that's the problem with the overall system in general anyway. Because now you're relying on the justice system to be 100% foolproof, which we all know it is far from it. And then
to be
adjustable. Right. Adjustable. You know, and that's why there's the problem with the system in general. And you know what I'm saying? Like what happens then? What do we do at that point?
No, I totally agree. It is a catch-22. How you guys are thinking. And you know what? It's part of the game. And going back to Jason Garrett, he does have a lot more. I just thought about all the players he's got to cut. All these players that are now on the brink of doing something good, but they just have too many people, and they got to let this guy go. I mean, it is a frustration. And you know what? I want a Jerry Jones up there with his son that'll say, no, you keep that one.
But
now I'm off the hook on that line, too.
Yeah, I would. That's a good problem to have, though. I would rather have that as my problem. I have too many good players, and I have to let some of them go, and I know that they're going to go to another team and probably be successful.
Right.
However, I would rather have that than the alternative of, like, all these guys suck. I could cut any one of them. We're still not going to be any good.
Well, last year we had the situation. We had two great quarterbacks. That's a problem everybody wants to have. Of course, you don't always have that luxury.
No, I agree, but I think that there's a little added pressure on the head coach.
Sure.
Because what you just said,
if
though,
they do
Rodney,
go on somewhere else, yeah,
it's much easier to dump a guy that's no good.
Yeah.
The tough situation is I got you three, and all three of you are showing me you can play that position, but now I got to. A guy under contract for three more years. I got a guy under contract for two more years. And I got this guy right here that's outplayed both
with
of you.
Yep.
But I can't sign him because I got to then pay you two clowns when I get rid of you.
Yep.
And then when you do get rid of him, then the media attacks you. Why in the world did you get rid of Jono?
Right.
What are you thinking?
Yeah.
Having a career year.
No, and I think that Jerry and his son are into that as well, to where they look for that. I mean, they're helping. They're helping big time. Folks, I'll tell you what. I went through St. Louis City today, and I went by their stadium, the old Rams stadium, and I'm telling you, it kind of looked creepy. It looked creepy in the sense that there's no longer team here. There's no
Were there tumbleweeds going down the street.
A little desolate there, yeah.
There was a
Set
garage
the
door.
Us,
there was a garage door that was all chained up and
half open.
I said to myself, we don't have this problem in Dallas. We got a team that's going to be there forever. Now, folks, I don't want us to have that 4th of July helmet either, okay? A lot of you guys were commenting that, let's go with that helmet and get rid of our helmet. Are you crazy? I couldn't get rid of that silver and star there. I mean, that's us. I don't care if you put the whole Harley Davidson type of like your helmet here, but it's still I want the whole thing being the silver and star there.
You know, and I don't know where this thought just came from, but just having that star. I remember when I was a kid. I'm talking 6-7 years old when the show Dallas was on. And it was right after the Dukes of Hazzard, right?
So, and that stadium.
The stadium.
Yeah.
I always, you know, and I always had to stay and watch that before I went to bed. Mom,
right.
Let me just watch the Passover. I couldn't wait.
Yeah.
Carry over to the top there. And there's the star. And I'm like, yes! And to this day, I still get freaking goosebumps.
Well, you got me all pumped up here. Rich.
Booyah! Right hook of reality, baby.
All right, what do you got there?
You're talking about those helmets. There's always those little memes that they put out, or everybody, you know, somebody comes up with helmet designs. There are some pretty sweet ones out there that would upgrade. I'm not sure the Cowboys would get upgraded, but there are some ones out there that would look pretty awesome.
And we're not upgrading anything. That's the way it is.
Well, we need to find the helmet that's in here. One of those interns are going to smack them around.
Yeah, we got to get everyone.
Rich,
we got to get them in this room, we're going to start firing.
I think it's somebody from the Fantasy Baseball League that is pissed at Jono. I got to be honest with you.
Well, they can be pissed all they want. I'm going to win this, and that's final to that. I'm already kicking everyone's butt in that. I'm really excited about it. Hey, guys, it's been another great show. Rich, what do you got going this weekend? Anything?
Oh, man, I'm glad to be back. Had a wonderful 4th of July. I hope everybody else did as well. I'm a bit of a pyro, so I had, I don't know, close to a grand worth of fireworks I blew up. I love doing that stuff. I love blowing
stuff
up.
Beautiful. You didn't blow your fingers up.
I got all the digits, baby.
Like the guy in New
JPP.
York.
JPP, yeah. Not anymore. But, no, this weekend should be another beautiful weekend. Got all kinds of good stuff going at the Academy, helping inspire these kids so we can have some future Cowboy players with the right integrity and honor, discipline, and then also that belief in themselves to get back up when the world knocks you down. So we're working it.
Definitely. Rodney, you?
I am
Big announcement.
I want to tee it up tomorrow morning. Chase a little white ball around a little bit. And then tomorrow night I'm going to take the family out for some pizza. I got a new career path. So I'm done looking at the classifieds.
I don't know if it's a new career path.
It's an upgrade. So
you got recruited and
what was it? Less than a week, you were somewhere else.
He got out of a bad, abusive relationship. He was getting beaten around. He got Ray Rice'd. All right.
Oh wow.
And he didn't press charges, and he's got a new relationship.
Okay,
he's
great.
He didn't even have
I
to get off.
That.
Listen,
I'm afraid to even ask what he's going.
It's great. It's great when you don't even have to swipe right, you know, on Match.com. Man, they just come crawling to you, don't they?
That was the first time I've really been in that position where I didn't even have to do anything. I just kind of said, "Hey, here's what's going on," and people came and threw offers, and that's always feels pretty.
We
good.
Tried to get him in here full time at Lineup Media. Is
I
what
don't
we wanted.
What's your
letter?
Gig there, pal?
We got a little business party tonight. Got a lot of good stuff happening in the mortgage world for me. So some things really brewing over the next couple of 2 months or so. So we're hoping to enjoy a Cowboy season and big business.
Yeah, perfect.
Are you getting
you,
leaves
Jono?
Out of the pool? What are you doing?
What's that?
You getting leaves out of the pool, or are you saving that for Sunday game?
I got the leaves out. What the hell are you talking about? That pool is nice and clean. You couldn't believe it, man. You'd probably take a bath in that thing.
I'd pee in it for sure.
Do you have a water slide?
Yeah, I do. I don't have a water slide, but I have a waterfall.
How about a diving board?
No, I can't have a diving board because it would make the pool look ugly. I'm not going to have
a
diving board.
That's fine.
And keep your cannonball somewhere
else. I'm just trying to
like
picture
dive
you
off
going
the,
down
the,
a water slide or doing like a swan dive or anything.
Yeah, that's
a waterfall. There you go.
Yeah,
jump
waterfall.
Off that thing.
No, we don't want that either. The little kids do that, those little pricks, and they get me in trouble all the time.
See,
I tell you, they can't do that. That's
do some
no-no.
Flying kicks off there. No,
you ought to see me like a lifeguard out there. I got that t-shirt hanging. I look like Chris Farley running out to him.
Do you have a whistle?
Yeah, with the Jim Carrey lifeguard of the hot tub.
I do have a whistle, but I forget to put it on. But I love that thing. All right. Anyway, folks, give a big shout out to Barry Gibson, Travis out there. He's a big fan of ours. Colleen. Colleen's out there. And thanks again, Doc, for putting up some great stuff on our Facebook page. People love it, and our fans are growing every day. I think we're at close to 16,000 now.
Wow. Yeah, we forget Michelle Price out there in Washington, Dakotas, right?
Yeah, she'll definitely hop on during the game time, too. So, well, you know what? I'm expecting a lot of things. And once again, put another line on the wall, and another week goes by here, and that's all we can do.
We got to be getting close to show number, what, 175,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but it's something to look into.
Well, this is about the first full year. Man, time has flown by.
And you know what? I really enjoy you guys. I mean, honestly, when I'm a little sauced up back here during the game, I look at you guys differently.
That's what she said.
Yeah. And anyway. Rodney knows.
All right, my friends from Cowboy Fellas here to you guys out there, God bless, and let's bring home a winner this year.
Go boys.
Go boys.
Go boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.